This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Fellas, good to be here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
That's right. Dirty's Daily is, as you heard, powered by Mokarum Injury Lawyers. It's hard as hell to say, but easy to dial. 281-222-2222. 281-222-2222. All right, as we're in the building, Clint's out. B. Scott is in the building. If you're just joining us, we appreciate you. Where the hell you been? Having a good time. Much better time than that lady did yesterday who refused to get on the elevator with me. Did I tell y'all about that?
Oh, man. How you offend somebody that bad?
She just said, go ahead and go. I'll catch the next one.
She didn't say any words to me. She was there downstairs before I got there. And the button was pushed. And the elevator door opened up. I got on. I went to get on to hold it in for her. And I said, ma'am, you come on. And she...
I'm good.
She just looked the other way. I didn't say nothing.
Hey, man, she might have been through something.
And then she took it and then she went over and pressed the button again. I think as the signal to me to, or she didn't say a word to me. I said, oh, okay. I says, I guess we'll go on up.
Yeah.
Hold on, Joe.
You might have reminded her of somebody.
I did get on and I said, damn, man. I don't know what the hell I did.
Might not be you.
I'm a nice guy.
Could be her.
No, it definitely is her. Nobody else there. I just said, damn, she just ignored me. All right. Well, that's right. Hopefully.
Making careful elevator choices. I ain't mad at it. Can't just ride on the elevator with everybody.
Text line coming through. She was scared of you. You are quite menacing. LOL.
See?
I had a polo and a smile.
You think about that. You think
I had
about
a polo and a smile.
Hey, YouTube and Twitch. On a scale from 1 to 10.
Oh, I'm not menacing. I do not.
How
look
menacing? Well, I mean, because that's clearly tongue in cheek. They're joking. On a scale from 1 to 10.
I'm holding the smile.
How menacing is Run the Show Hughley? How menacing? Would you yourself be afraid to ride on the elevator with Run the Show Hughley because he's menacing of all things?
Champ Slice, Ron is -10 menacing.
Now, he might pull you into an awkward conversation on the elevator, one that you can't get out of until you actually get to whatever floor you're going to. And might I remind you, it's quite a few floors in this building. Who knows how long you might have to be in that awkward conversation. Yeah. But menacing? Nah.
Someone texted in, not you, show. Welcome to the South. Damn, I did. I said, hey, oh, coming on? Go ahead.
But welcome to the South.
Did my code switch voice? Hey, coming on.
Does welcome to the South not imply that it is you, though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, welcome to the South. What you mean by that?
Isn't it usually Southern hospitality? Welcome to the South. Thought it was usually Southern hospitality.
I feel like I know what they're trying to imply there, but if that was the case, then it's definitely you.
It's definitely me.
Yeah. I mean, just to do the experiment, we should have took Tyler down there to see if she would have rode the elevator with him.
She wasn't old. I would say she's probably in her 50s. She was a ginger. And she went with her eyes, just grabbed some sky when I was talking to her. And then turned and walked and pressed the other button. I said, okay. I said, clearly this lady don't want to go on.
Maybe you yelled at her in the parking garage one time or something.
I'll be honest with you, fellas. It was one of those situations where I wish I could have it back.
So you could have made it more uncomfortable and awkward on her?
Uh-huh. I do. I'd have gotten off.
You're like, you know what? I'm going to take whatever elevator you take.
I'm going with you.
This elevator don't work for you? Let's wait for the next one then. You know what? You're right. That's a good idea.
Or
let's just take the next one, sweetie.
Or probably, well, I didn't want to ride with your funky ass either.
Yeah.
That's probably where I was probably leaning.
Yeah. But that doesn't work because it's like.
But that doesn't help.
Well, but then go. Then be gone.
Yep. Text line. Ron, she thought you had a hole in your drawers. That was the other day. I threw those away.
But if you did, then shame on her for not saying nothing. She going to let you get on the elevator with a hole in your drawers and not say nothing? Shame on her.
Well, listen.
I definitely don't want to be on the elevator with her, though.
Rich Eisen, who I'm sure people get on elevators with. Rich Eisen.
Seems like a hell of a nice guy.
I don't know. Is he NFL Network or ESPN? I don't know what the hell he is now, but maybe both.
Yeah, the lines are blurred these days.
Rich Eisen, he spoke about the division. And listen, I will say this, Houston. Sometimes you guys have, how can I put it delicately? You guys have some serious delusions. All right, you get a little over your skis at times with your trash talking. Not the Astros portion of the Houstonians, but maybe other teams. Now, I will say this, though. What Rich Eisen says, I completely agree. And if anybody says anything different, then they're off their ass. And you should absolutely fight the good fight, go to the basement, and not quit on the conversation. Because they are dead wrong if they disagree with what Rich Eisen had to say when he was talking about how he sees the AFC South.
I understand that. And I am high on the Jaguars, but not enough to have them win the division. I think the Texans are still the class of this division, sir. And I do have the Colts third. I am concerned for their season. Again, man, I'm hoping for a Daniel Jones renaissance for him. And I'll take Jacksonville second with a shot to make the playoffs. You know how I feel about Travis Hunter. And I think Liam Cohen's going to coach him up, and I think defensively they're going to be better. But the Texans are still the class of the AFC South, and that's our predictions of the AFC South.
I don't say this often, although I think I've said it in the last 2 days. There's just really not another take. I don't think there's another option. There's a lot of things. I think there are some delusions on some Texans fans that see themselves in the same class of the upper echelon of the AFC. Like the text from yesterday, Ron, I believe by far Houston has a better roster than Kansas City. I think there are some delusions. There are no delusions with the expectations and the feel that the Texans are the best in the class of the AFC South. And if anybody else comes up with any other take, they are full of it.
Yes!
And you should not accept anything else. And I would talk as much. I would never quit. I wouldn't give up. I would keep talking. Stop. I would keep doing things to make you feel stupid. Because I'm not going to sit here and guarantee you and say anything couldn't happen, could happen, right? I'm not going to guarantee you that I'll be shocked off my ass if the Texans lose the division. You don't know what could happen. Yes, I understand. Help CJ's rookie year. I would have never guessed that the Texans were going to win that division. So anything can happen. But I just don't know how anybody could walk into the season and believe that they trust any other team more than they trust the Texans in the South. And I think it's a ridiculous take to go any other way. Anything else could happen. The Jags could raise up and Trevor turn back into the player he was several years ago. And
Duval.
And that guy make a real impact, and Travis Hunter really makes an impact. But you, there is no way you can walk into the doors and say, yep, I'm going with the Colts.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do it.
Not only is it like Texans over everybody, but I think the pecking order is even clear. Like, it's not even like, oh, the Texans and then who else? It's like a clear number one, a clear number two.
You think there's a clear number two?
I think there's a clear number three, and I think there's a clear number four. And every single team in the AFC South, to me, is firmly placed in that exact spot. Texans number one, Jacksonville in a pillow fight number two. I think the Colts are a decently built team with no quarterback. They are number three. And then the Titans are interesting because if Cam Ward actually turns out to be a thing, they're kind of the wild card, but also clearly the number four going into the season. You can't just like manufacture this hot take that they're going to be better than what they are. So I think one, two, three, and four are all very clearly planted exactly in that order. And the Texans are clearly number one. The Jaguars, let's just call it what it is, they're fraud. I mean, this Trevor Lawrence thing, like, I don't even want to hear about it anymore. We've seen this movie before. There's talent there, but I think there's a ceiling there, and it's nowhere close to the ceiling that we were led to believe when he was first drafted. I think that this situation with the quarterback in Indianapolis going with Daniel Jones and the Colts just generally sort of running in place. And then again, the Titans being the wild card. One, two, three, four, Texans being number one very clearly to me.
I don't
see how you look at it any differently.
And it's wild, but I've been watching. I've watched TV 2 days in a row this week, and I've heard respected people in the industry say otherwise. This is Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN. This was on Tuesday. This was Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN, and Louis Riddick the next day on ESPN on Get Up followed up the same sentiment. Here's Mike Tannenbaum on how he sees the AFC South going.
Really on a hot streak, you know, with some of your takes. And I'm told that you have another bold one.
Cam Ward, the first pick overall, Molly, is going to lead the Tennessee Titans to the AFC South Division Champion. And he
will lost your damn mind. This year?
Right now.
You're insane.
Are you kidding?
That's ridiculous.
Well, look at his track record. He started off at a Cardigan Word. He went to Washington
State. I'm not saying what he's not going to eventually do. You're saying year one.
Who's better in that division?
C.J. Stroud?
And he's also going to be the best quarterback. I love C.J. Stroud, but when you have five new offensive linemen, Mr. Woody, you will attest to that. That doesn't happen overnight, and he was sacked 52 times. So Cam Ward is going to have great protection. They signed Dan Moore from Pittsburgh.
I got reservations about Houston's offensive line. I got reservations about everything in Tennessee. Everything.
You should be.
What are you talking about?
They got two veteran receivers in Tyler Lockett and Calvin Ridley.
Oh, my
Lord. They got a good running back in Tony
Pollard. Cam Ward can play. I like him, but I'm just saying, yeah, what?
Quite frankly, it's bullshit.
And man, my man lived with Tyler Lockett, dog. Hey,
you like to be crazy.
Like, you know you, and hey, you know you full of it. He got hit up against the ropes, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, he is saying the Titans are going to win the division.
He said they got Tyler Lockett and Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's nice. But Tyler Lockett, hey. I mean, how old is Tyler Lockett now?
I don't know, man. I'm old.
Yeah,
old.
I mean, he's been around forever.
Yeah, I've worked with his dad. Old. But my man said, are you kidding me? What do you mean, are you kidding me? When Stephen A. said, you've lost your mind, his response to the team who drafted number one in the draft last year, picking them to win this division, his response to it, are you kidding me? Like he is worthy to say, are you kidding me, to someone pressing him on the Tennessee Titans winning the South. And then Louis Riddick was like, the next day on Get Up was like, I love it. I'm telling you, they are dangerous, and they are a team that I would not be surprised at all if they won the South. I cannot.
I would be surprised.
I will be shocked off
Color
my
me surprised.
Ass. I will be shocked off my ass, and then we will have to have a full different conversation about incoming quarterbacks in the league. If we get three straight years of Stroud, hey, Daniels, and then
I was going to say, to be fair, what Tannenbaum is predicting about Cam Ward is essentially what C.J. Stroud did. came in the trap, took that trap.
And nobody could have seen that coming.
Nobody was predicting
again,
it.
Again, and that is fine.
So I do get the where it could be rooted from.
But there is nothing that gets you to today sitting here and saying without watching.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The guy from Incarnagan's Word or Ward or wherever
it's
he called it.
It's Incarnate Word.
Whatever Mike called it.
They put a cardigan there on them, no, boys.
Don't do San Antonio like that.
There is no way. There's no way you can sit here with confidence and say, yep. Yep. I trust the Titans to jump this thing. Look, I trust O'Callaghan and Ward to do this thing.
Bri.
Well, I believe Tony Pollard and Tyler, and you can't lead with Tyler Lockett.
You got to lead
with Jeffrey Simmons.
How you don't
you
see the lead. Vision? They got Tyler Lockett.
L'Jarius Sneed, you got to lead. But that's because he was up against the rope. And yeah. he was.
Well,
he
the
was
confidence, tight. As you say, was my favorite part. Like the part where he boldly gives like the rhetorical question of like, well, what other team in the South would you have above them?
Who the hell could it be?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. The team that's been winning the division and running the South? Like, that was my favorite part.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? Like, I wonder if he actually forgot the teams in the division. Because it reminds me of one time.
He can forget the teams in the division. But the team that was brought to him was CJ Stroud.
But what I'm saying, I'm talking about before, like before they did the segment, like when they just said, "Hey, give me your team." He might have maybe forgot. Like I remember one time, Sam Acho, they was like, "Give me your top five quarterbacks."
Talk about some hot takes for that guy.
And he left Patrick Mahomes out of the top five quarterbacks. And so Harry Douglas at the time goes, Acho, is this your list? Is this your list? Where's Patrick Mahomes? Oh, like, and it was so clear. like Sam Acho was like trying to scramble. It was so clear that he just clearly just forgot about Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he actually wanted to make the case that Patrick Mahomes was a top five quarterback.
Did he lean into it?
I think he just forgot about it. No, he kind of just stumbled through through the rest of it the way Mike Tannenbaum just did. I wonder if he forgot who was in the division. Who'd you have?
Again.
I don't know. The team that's won it the last 2 years that is at least as good as they were the last 2 years.
I'm not going to tell you that it's a guarantee that the Texans are going to win the division. I just don't know how you can have the take on August 29th or any days before the season starts that you trust anybody else more. Because the gap between D'Amico Ryans and the next best coach in the division is the Grand Canyon. The gap between C.J. Stroud right now and the next the next best quarterback, which I think is probably, I would say Trevor,
yeah,
is maybe not the Grand Canyon, but pretty big.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the coaching gap. Is that Steichen?
Yeah.
So the team is even different. The next best quarterback is on one team. The next best coach is on another team. Next best defense might be another team.
And those are the two most important things in football, the coach and the quarterback. And it's why the Patriots have been so dominant in this thing. All right,
what a disappointment again, it would be if the Colts were somehow able to walk the Texans down with Daniel Jones.
Again, Texans fans,
I'm not predicting that. I'm just
saying. Have some delusional things at times. But
no,
there
ain't got to repeat that.
But there ain't no delusions on who's winning the South. I will not accept anything. Somebody try to bring the Jags or the Titans or the Colts to you. I mean, it's a kiss my ass party and let's go. Coming up, we'll get you ready for the Astros as they get ready for the Angels. Is Mike Trout in the lineup? I don't know. Has he gotten hurt yet?
I mean, your safest guess is no.
But we'll get you ready for that. Their lineup is out. The Astros. And we'll get you ready for that coming up.
Really, really happy.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey there, 0648. That is out of our control. Same to you, 1912.
Pound town, baby.
The lineup is out for the Astros. Jeremy Pena leading off at shortstop. You like Yordan in the two spot?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
It feels like for a little bit here in a couple, it feels like Joe and Dana just having some fun. Like, what do we want to do here? Because he hit cleanup when he first came back, some other things. But in the two spot, you like him in the two spot?
So I'm fine with Yordan.
With Altuve behind him.
Yeah, I think it's fine. But I keep going back to something that you said a few days ago about just the fact that they don't feel like they got no kind of feel of what this lineup is supposed to look like. No, and I would think this. I don't know what they're going to do long term, if this is just an experiment or what. But I would feel like Yordan in the lineup sort of fortifies the lineup wherever you put him. Like, okay, now we got Yordan. This is where we like everybody else around it. But it does still feel like they're going to be a tinker with the lineup type of team.
Like they're trying to find it, I guess.
I don't love that. And the fact that their offense is as bad as it is. Like, I don't know which is the chicken or the egg. Is it because the offense is so inconsistent, they got to keep tinkering with the lineups to figure out what they got? Or are they tinkering with it too much to where they can't get a rhythm of what the lineup should be?
There has been more of a shift in this in baseball over the last half decade or so. But it's still not as much as the Astros do. Guys like to know where they're going to be and know who's in front of them and know the type of batter that's in front of them in terms of how they're going to see pitches. Like if you're Yordan in those years you hit behind Bregman, like you know you're going to see some pitches and things like that. Or if you're Altuve, baby, you better get ready to rock and roll. It's time to walk up there and really eye that first pitch because that might be the only one you get to see ahead of your at-bat.
Yeah, Pena ahead of Alvarez in the year they won the World Series a few years ago was really him as a table setter that year. Was really good in the postseason. So, yeah, I mean,
it is interesting. But Yordan is hitting second, and he's the DH tonight. Altuve's at second base, and then Tyler hates this. But now Correa's in the cleanup spot.
the place that he really hates.
That's why I feel sexy.
Korea in, but he's in the cleanup spot. Christian Walker, the hero from yesterday with two home runs and the game winner in the eighth. He is playing first and hitting fifth. Jesus Sanchez is back there in left field with Yiner Diaz. This is a good development. He is back behind the plate. He had the wrist situation where Cesar Salazar, teams continued to run at will on the Astros. But he is back in the lineup at the catcher spot.
Got that tag, though.
Yeah, did. He did get it. It was a great tag.
Got that tag.
Great tag. And not to mention who was at that tag, the thrower of that, Cam Smith. He's in right field. So Sanchez and Cam Smith both on the corner outfield spots with Dubon in center field. And then Christian Javier trying to recover from whatever that was the last time he pitched. So Peña, Alvarez, Altuve, Correa, Walker, Sanchez, Diaz, Smith, and Mauricio Dubon. That is the lineup today.
I just need him to get it going and get it going consistently. That'd be great. Like I've talked about this, and
it
feels like every time I bring it up, they have like a good couple of days, and it's like, oh well, never mind. But then it goes backwards.
Just
and
big
it's
just, hits.
Man, we need timely hits. To me, that's the big thing that they're lacking. We were having a conversation earlier about, and we will again, about the how you feel about the aces. Man, in comparison, like when you read the lineup, no matter what it looks like, I'm just nervous every day because I don't know what type of output I'm going to get. And it's weird to say that about the Astros, which has been that way for a while now.
That's why I just feel like with Yordan, Altuve, Correa, and I've got a level of confidence in Peña. And I'll be honest, Christian Walker, especially in the second half, has shown more of it, that if those guys can find themselves to the plate in the moments where you need the timely hitting, that they've got guys that have a knack. Dubon is another one that has a knack from coming up with timely hits we've seen in the postseason. I feel like they'll have enough. Like, this, I mean, you just know this ain't the 19 offense walking through that door.
No.
This is not even the 22 offense walking through the door. 21 offense walking through the door. This is more, you know, hey, big hit here. We're going to win 4-3 because, you know, Yordan was able to get up and get a big hit, or Correa was able to get a big hit. So
I say this. I know Correa is a legend here, and we all love him, but I'd flip him in Christian Walker right now. Like, I'd flip-flop that. And with no bones about it, because I think that still gives you
I mean, Correa's been swinging.
I know, I get it. I get it, but I like what Christian Walker is doing that much lately. I don't think you can go wrong, but I would flip-flop that. Mm. Or maybe even bump down Altuve and go Correa, Walker, Altuve. Now, that's probably sacrilegious, but like out of those three, I think I'd go Altuve last.
To me, I would the top three for me would be Peña, Correa, Alvarez. And then
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
And then probably Altuve and Walker.
See, I'd have Altuve after Walker. I'd have Altuve after all those guys, as much as I love them. And I don't think it's that big of a, he's 35 years old. It's good. Altuve in any spot of the lineup, unless he's just not comfortable doing it, works for me. But behind some of these guys that are hitting better.
Yeah, I'd rather Altuve be at the plate if they're trying to pitch around Alvarez than Christian Walker. Like in big moments, I'd rather have him there, cuz I mean the Rockies were doing that. The Rockies were pitching around Alvarez to get to him at times.
Fair enough. I just think Christian Walker's hitting the cover off the ball lately. And if I'm just talking about right now, obviously Jose Altuve is Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
But based off of how they're hitting right now, Christian Walker has found it in a way that I feel like he could take a step up.
Someone texted in, Christian Walker's finally figured it out. Don't change his spot in the order at all. His spot's been changed. Everybody's
spot's
been changed.
Yeah, I don't know.
That Christian ain't just been sitting in the five spot. I'm certain he hit cleanup yesterday.
Yeah.
He's changing all over the place, baby. Welcome to Joe and Dana, baby.
Yeah.
Or Dana and Joe, whatever, however.
Which yeah, way. It's almost to a point of, like, talking about it is kind of weird because it's like, well, they just going to change it anyway. You ain't going to catch no rhythm.
All right, coming up, one of the things, and I think this is a mark of a good producer. Tyler likes to routinely, many times he does it very, very late at night. He likes to routinely send me things that I think he knows is going to get a rise out of me or going to get me feeling in a certain manner, and he succeeded. He succeeded. Something from Titus Howard. He succeeded, and he got a rise out of me, and well, you're going to get what you wanted, all right? You're going to get what you wanted. That's coming up next.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Tyler reminded me earlier that old Kyle Schwarber.
You literally said it right the first time.
Yeah.
Schwarber. Yeah.
It's so hard at the finish of his name.
You had it.
I want to put a T at the end of it. Schwarbert.
What is that? Ice cream?
But Kyle Schwarber hit four home runs yesterday. He's at 49 right now. Remember, he was the MVP of the All-Star game without getting a hit in the box score. But he did hit three home runs in a row to win it. He's having a hell of a year. I would ask you, Tyler, who would you say is perceived to be the best player in the American League? Not with your hatred. Don't think with your hatred. Who would you?
Right. I know who's perceived. It's Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge. Who would you say is perceived to be, Brandon, the best player in the National League?
It's got to either be.
It's at the perceived.
It's either Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, it's probably
Shohei.
It's Shohei Ohtani. Yeah.
Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani.
Tall Asian guy.
Both of those guys.
I thought Acuna before his injury was kind of in that conversation.
Oh, right.
It's probably Shohei.
First, I didn't think Aaron Judge was all Asian guy. But anyway, both of those guys are having MVP caliber season, Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, and are in the race. But should either one of them win the MVP award this year?
Judge, yes.
No.
You don't think Cal Raleigh is?
Nah. I mean, no. The catching, the fact that he's doing all of this while catching is very impressive. I don't want to diminish his season.
Does he lead the league in RBIs and home runs?
No, you can RBIs and home runs, some of the traditional old school stats, yeah. But, I mean, you can look it up. They did this not too long ago, kind of put it up. The deeper metrics show that Aaron Judge is having the better season by far. Like, it's not quite.
But how much does the defensive side make up? What he's doing from a.
No one should give an F about Aaron Judge.
For me, only a little. You know,
only
like
a little from a catching position like that.
No, it's cool. I mean, it's fine. It's cool. But Aaron Judge is still objectively having a better season is objectively a more valuable player. No, I mean, it just
he said it's cool.
Is what it is. I think what Aaron Judge is good enough overall. I think his hitting stats are good enough to where it offsets whatever difference we're talking about Cal Raleigh doing it as a catcher. So yeah, no, I think it's still Aaron Judge. Nice story, nice season. The MVP is Aaron Judge.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know.
On a curve and say, hey, because since he's catching, let's give him a few more brownie points, then sure. But I'm not really interested in that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on a curve. I think it's to me it's almost, not quite, but it's almost to a point of like when the DH is going up against a position player. Like that dude is out here. He's catching every day.
Yeah, no, he is. That
switch
part,
hit him into that is
that part is impressive
for a team that struggles offensively too. And you know that they are, you know, really trying to stop him. It's an interesting case.
I think being a Mariner doesn't help. Like
Kyle, and you think Kyle should win the MVP? Schwarber.
I think I'd like his case actually better than Cal Raleigh's. Cal Raleigh's. So yeah, no, I think he's got a decent case. But I mean, if we're being honest with you, it's kind of a similar Michael Jordan, LeBron, you know, that type of thing where it's like a guy that could win it every year, especially if he just actually puts up the numbers. Everybody knows this is the most valuable player. Kind of how Mike Trout was for a while. Mike Trout, like, it's like, this guy is the best, and when he plays like the best, that's the most valuable player. The only reason to give it to anybody else is fatigue or falling in love with some other cute story, like a guy catching. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, okay, cool. That's nice.
We'll see. It'll be a hell of a race with those two. Those two guys, I thought, most part of the season were running away from it, and then Kyle Raleigh, the big dumper, and Kyle Schwarber, they have made a run here of late. All right. As I said on the tease, Tyler does this to myself. He does it to Clint, where he will just send some things to just try to get us a little, like, oh, I know he's going to react to this. I know he's going to get riled up to this. Got it. The other day, he said, oh, you hear what D'Amico said about finding the OC, what he was looking for, the OC? He said, oh, you'll love this.
Ooh.
You'll love this. And then he sent one. I got this around 6 in the morning when I started getting ready to go in the morning with the family and the kids. He sent me this, and he knew this would get me. This is from our guy DJ Bienemy, his article that he wrote in ESPN on ESPN.com, and a little passage from it. From Tytus Howard, tackle, guard, or just offensive lineman for the Texans. And he says this, also running the ball and then using the run game to open up the pass. Not coming out and getting effing negative yards on outside zone run plays. Stuff that we didn't do well that didn't fit us.
Dang it, Bobby.
Hey man, he got a little candid. He even gave you a little color there with the F bomb.
Tytus, yeah, he got candid.
Said what he meant.
That's coming off of CJ earlier this week on First Take with Stephen A. Instead of dropping back and throwing the ball all the time,
something that he loves to do, by the way.
He's wide open, CJ.
Listen, Tyler knows this, and I know many of you haven't. And I don't expect that you are at the space that I am, although I think many of you may be. Like, I cannot wait till this damn season starts, and then maybe we will stop hearing what feels like to me at times as the blame game on Bobby Slowick. And hell, they may all be right, but damn it, I just can't wait till this thing is over so we can potentially see. Because they better be coming out firing, Jack. I mean,
Bobby?
they're getting to do this this gap scheme, and they're getting what they want. And the hell with, yes, I know that last year they had a Pro Bowl running back on the team. Only 3 of them get voted in, but they better be rolling, getting everything they want. I just at some point just like, all right, guys, just,
and you will go to sleep.
But this is what I'm trying to get down to the bottom of, though. Do you just hate the excuse making because it comes off as excuse making, or do you disagree with the premise that the scheme did not necessarily fit the players? Because I do tend to, if this is what they're telling us, if this is what they're saying, while it may come off as blame game and may actually be deflection and blame game, I'm not disputing that, but I'm also not disputing the reality of what they're saying. Like, if they're saying, hey, this didn't fit us, this, we didn't feel comfortable doing this, I tend to believe that. Like, that sounds like an honest, on the one hand, blame game, but also an honest assessment of the way things were last year.
Yeah, but they're not coming out there also assessing that their asses sucked. Right? Like I think...
I mean, I've heard guys say, I gotta be better, we gotta be better. We've heard that.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, they sneak that in, but then right into the other part. And maybe I'm just hearing that part of it.
Because I think that's the questions are more so, what do you think about Kaylee, and less so, how are you going to suck
they
less?
Nobody says,
hey, are you going to suck less?
But they go into Kaylee. They roll into this, Tyler.
That doesn't mean that their answers aren't clearly.
To the point, I do want to answer what you said.
Yeah.
To the point of what you said is, I think some of the scheme stuff and the stuff Bobby did was a problem, but I also think some of the players
were a problem. I think some of the injuries that they had were a problem.
Agreed.
I think some of their grasp of what the hell they should be doing were a problem. I think some of them just getting their asses kicked.
Oh yeah,
up and down the field.
A lot of ass kicking was the problem.
I think some of the head coach not nipping in whatever the communication problem was.
Oh no,
nipping that in the butt. I think for that offense to drop from the level it was the year before to where it was, I think everybody played a part. But again, maybe it is just me, but it feels like I am personally about at the top of my hearing of the scheme and the play calling and the not putting us in positions to do stuff. And it was everything. And I think you can answer the Nick Caley questions without hitting us with the, yeah, and maybe we'll run the ball and run these and not run outside zone to get us negative yards. See, well, maybe if your ass blocked the outside zone a little bit better, it wouldn't be negative yards. And don't act like that y'all didn't run no gap scheme stuff at all. Like, get out of here.
We couldn't run the ball.
But see, the part I disagree with is that you can speak highly of Nick Caley without it so much as coming across as, not like this quote from Titus Howard is a little extra.
What about CJ earlier this week?
I think it's hard to juxtapose the change. Look, they made a change. They fired the guy. So there ain't nothing good to say about the guy that you fired that you are now acknowledging, hey, we've moved on. It wasn't like, maybe it's amicable from a personal standpoint, but they fired him for a reason, not just for the you know what's in giggles. It wasn't working. And so it's hard to speak to the change and why this is going to work without kind of talking about what reflects previously didn't work.
Let me ask you, are you hearing, because you cover this team as much as I do, more than I do. That's why you do our Texas report every Wednesday, 4:40. You've heard these guys come out. You don't get the feel that it is like it is a lot in terms of...
I think it is a lot, okay, but I also think this is how they truly feel about it. I don't know... Just because it's
Tyler,
how they
do you feel
about
like
it,
it's a lot?
That they're wrong. I don't know if they're wrong. A lot or not. I don't know if it's wrong.
Yeah, it feels like a lot.
Is it? And maybe it. Maybe it's
it feels
not,
that way.
And maybe there are people that feel like you, it's a lot, and they're just being accurate.
They fired the guy.
For me, it's just like, okay, move the hell, move on. And I do believe you can talk about the what Nick Caley has been thus far without taking out your shovel to blame Bobby Slowick for you getting your ass kicked up and down. Bobby Slowick wasn't in there when you went up there and helped sack C.J. Stroud.
And look.
And try to recover that fumble that one time, Titus. And then stop.
Whether you think it's valid or a blame game, Bobby Slowick did go from the guy that they gave a raise to a guy they gave a pink slip to. And that was a drastic precipitous, well, you know what I mean.
I think they just told him.
That was a precipitous fall. And so, like, how do you explain that type of fall? Here's what it sounds like. You know, I don't love to hear it. It's a little uncomfortable, and I do think it's a lot. But I think this is them being maybe a little too candid, but being honest about how they feel about the situation.
Last two texts. Ron, you sound like you don't want to see them be successful. No, that's not at all. I'm just, to me, it would be.
He's saying stop whining about last year.
just placing. I will tell you, for me, it feels like they are almost 100% placing the blame on Bobby Slowick last year. And for me, I think that's unfair. And even if it's the truth, you're thinking like someone just texted in Hughley shooting off his mouth. Again, exposing he don't know jack about football. Kiss my ass. The play calling in the scheme was the crux of the Lions' problems. Okay. All right. Kenyon Green, he'd be more successful if it was. Nah, let me not do this. We got to go to break.
All we got to do is.
Kenyon Green would have been better.
It doesn't matter what Titus or any of these guys' intentions are. Like, when he says things like we just laid out, the natural deduction you take is thinking, okay, last year, that OC, that offense, all the bad we saw and got pissed off about. So if your mind doesn't at least go there, it doesn't mean it was intentional or that's what he was trying to do.
But that's
what it is. It's a comparison from last year's offense to now.
But even if it's the case, like, dude, just stop. Like, at what point are we like, hey, man, We're looking forward. At some point, we're looking forward.
At least
or really hone in on what Nick's doing. Maybe we can come out this year and not have negative yards to start.
In Bobby's defense, I don't feel like Nick Caley would have overcome the Shaq Mason Green combination at guard conundrum that they had going on. I'm not sure he would have been ready
for that.
Maybe
many of you have not reached the guy. Shut up and let's just go. Forget about it. Shut up.
CJ did say the other day that he was tired of talking. So
I am too. Now I will give it. CJ has taken accountability. It's usually followed up after he expresses dropping back to throw the ball down the field. All right, 5 o'clock fire coming up next. Astros Angels, we'll get you ready for that. And more info coming out of the big deal from Micah Parsons. He's just getting paid, folks. All of that as we continue right now on The Drive.